This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says this in the Quran that there are three categories of people. Minhum muqtasid, wa minhum zalimun li nafsih. There are those who are on the middle path, there are those who've accomplished great, and there are also those who are oppressing themselves. And you'll see this in every group. A lot of the time what happens with people of one group is that they will focus, if they want to denigrate people of another group, they will focus on the worst of that group. Like if there's sectarian problems or any other group problems that we have, or tribal problems or whatever may be the case, what generally happens is that we will generally focus on the worst of the other group and say, look at that, as though the group is bringing that up. That's just human nature, that this is what happens. Unless of course you see that the ideology of a particular group creates a particular weakness or a defect in everybody, that's a different story. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد. We're going through all of the rights that each one of us has over another, and rights that we have to fulfill for each other. This is Imam Sha'rani's suggestions and his recommendations. So then the second one is, وَمِنْ حَقِّ الْأَخِي عَلَى الْأَخِ أَنْ يَحْمِلْ مَا يَرَاهُ مِنْهُ عَلَى وَجْهٍ مِنَ التَّأْوِيلِ جَمِيلَ مَا أَمْكَنْ فَإِنْ لَمْ يَجِدْ تَأْوِيلًا رَجَعَ عَلَى نَفْسِهِ بِاللَّوْمِ. Maybe sometimes difficult to do, but once you practice this and you change your outlook, this is actually possible. For a lot of people, they'll think, how do you do this? What he's saying is that whatever you see of your brother, especially something that doesn't seem to be so perfect, then you try to give it the best possible interpretation. You try to spin it in the best way. People do evil spinning outside all the time. You know, be a politician. Although, just do it positively here. So give everything a positive spin. And there's always a possibility for a positive spin, and try to look at everything in the best possible manner. جَمِيلَ مَا أَمْكَنْ, as positively as possible. فَإِنْ لَمْ يَجِدْ تَأْوِيلًا. Sometimes you are going to run up against a wall and you just can't find any way to extract your brother from the defect that you are noticing. You can't put a positive spin. You can't seem to find a good opinion or a good interpretation. Then in that case, he says, if you don't find something like that, رَجَعَ عَلَى نَفْسِهِ بِاللَّوْمِ, then just blame yourself for being unable to do so. Like, I wish I could have seen this in a better light. And blame yourself for it, that I wish I could have been more positive about this. So when a person is always trying to act positively and censoring oneself and reproaching oneself for not being positive, then inshallah positivity will come about. He then says that one of his teachers, Ibrahim al-Dasuqi rahimahullah, in one of his counsels, in his wasiyah, it mentions that لَا تُنْكِرُوا عَلَىٰ أَخِيكُمْ حَالَهُ وَلَا لِبَاسَهُ وَلَا طُعَامَهُ وَلَا شَرَابَهُ. Don't censor your brother for his different states. Don't reproach him. Don't accuse him for his different states, whether that be in terms of his garments, his clothing, wearing some strange clothing or strange garments, or his food, his dress, his hairstyle, his drink, whatever it may be. Because when you start reproaching somebody about these small minor things like this, يُورِثُ الْوَحْشَةَ وَالْإِنْقِطَاعَ عَنِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى, then your focus changes. It creates, number one, a disquietude and a gloom. It creates a problem in between, because it muddies the water in between, because you're looking at something negative. Negativity has that idea. Even these self-care experts, self-healing experts, will constantly be telling you, think positively. This is what the Sharia tells you, to think positively in general. And it will also cut you away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is good. Allah is jameel, wa yuhibbul jamal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is excellent and elegant and beautiful. And He loves elegance, excellence and beauty. So as long as you can extract beauty out of anything, then that is what we should be doing. وَلَا إِنْكَارَ عَلَىٰ أَحَدٍ إِلَّا إِنْ ارْتَكَبَ مَحْظُورًا صَرَّحَتْ بِهِ الشَّرِيعَةَ الْمُطَهَّرَةَ. Then he says at the end of the day, what the person is doing in terms of the weird clothing he might have on, or the weird hairstyle or food or clothing or drink, as long as it's not haram, as long as it's not something prohibited in the sharia, as long as it's not something that has been considered unlawful in the pure deen, then after that you can't reproach somebody for that. You can't reproach somebody for that. And then he says something very important. And if we can understand this, I think this is the crux of this whole point. And it really enlightens us. It really gives a very good understanding of how to understand, especially how to work with your own family members, your own people at work, or anywhere else for that matter. He says, because فَإِنَّ النَّاسَ خَاصٌ وَخَاصُ الْخَاصِ وَمُبْتَدِعٌ وَمُنْتَهِنْ وَمُتَشَبِّهٍ وَمُتَحَقِّقٍ وَالْقَوِيُّ لَا يَقْدِرْ عَلَى الْمَشْيِ مَعَ الضَّعِيفِ وَعَكْسِهِ وَاللَّهُ تَعَالَى يَرْحَمُ الْبَعْضَ بِالْبَعْضِ. He says, because among people, if you take a assessment of people, there are the elect among people, the high level ones. Then there is the khasul khas. There's the elect of the elect, the very special people. Meaning those who've really been able to be particular about their faith. You know, so there's the particular ones, and there's the very particular ones. And then he says, there's also the beginners, there's also the advanced, there's also those who are just trying to impersonate others, who are trying their best. And there are also those who've actualized and who've reached and who've accomplished. And then he says, the qawi, the one who's spiritually stronger and more powerful or higher level, is unable to walk and keep up with the weak one. The strong one is unable to keep up with the weak one, and likewise the opposite. The weak one is unable to keep up with the strong one. It's going to be the case. If you're traveling together, one is spiritually much stronger and he's doing extra nawafil and everything, and the other one wants to carry on, he's done his fard only and his, you know, two sunnah. But in safar you don't have to do your sunnah, in journeys you don't have to do sunnah if you're in a hurry. But one insists on doing his sunnah and his ishraq and nawafil and tahajjud and 10 minutes of dhikr and so on as well. He's way advanced. And he's comfortable with that. It doesn't matter how long it takes. The other one just wants to move on, move on, move on. You're not going to be able to keep up. But understand that not everybody is like you. So don't start criticizing people. As long as they're doing the basics of their deen, don't criticize people for no reason, over and above that. Arbitrarily. Of course, if you're trying to help somebody, it's a different story. But arbitrarily, don't just keep your eyes, just pretend to overlook it. You can't see it. And then he says, and the wonderful thing is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mercy on some people by virtue of others. So at the end of the day, this mix that we have, this is by the same thing. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he gives barakah due to the weak people, to the strong, due to the Allah gives barakah because of the young people, to the old, to the very old, by virtue of the very old, to the middle-aged. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chooses different people and he uses some to spread the barakah and the mercy upon others. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says this in the Quran, that there are three categories of people. Minhum muqtasid, wa minhum zalimun li nafsih. There are those who are on the middle path, there are those who've accomplished great, and there are also those who are oppressing themselves. And you'll see this in every group. A lot of the time what happens with people of one group is that they will focus, if they want to denigrate a people of another group, they will focus on the worst of that group. Like if there's sectarian problems or any other group problems that we have, or tribal problems or whatever may be the case, what generally happens is that we will generally focus on the worst of the other group and say, look at that, as though the group is bringing that up. That's just human nature, that this is what happens. Unless, of course, you see that the ideology of a particular group creates a particular weakness or a defect in everybody, that's a different story. A lot of the time what we do is we compare non-Muslim ideas or cultures or trends with the Islamic ideal, not with Muslims. We compare non-Muslim fashions of the day, we compare that to a Sahabi, a companion, or a big scholar, not with the state of Muslims today. Do you understand? And then we try to show that Islam is superior because of that. It's not superior because of that. It's superior as it is. It's got its own ways, but one needs to follow it. So it's not a very straightforward comparison that we do a lot of the time. We take the worst of another group and we show the best of ours and we try to compare it like that. You can't make comparisons like that. That doesn't deny the point that there is great good here, or that it's the best or the most excellent, or it's God-given or divine. That's not the point. That's not what we're trying to deny. But what we're trying to say is that when you make a comparison, be fair in your comparison. But going back to this point, the point is that look positively at as many things as possible. And inshallah, this will really, really create harmony between us. That's why this thing about quickly criticizing people in a hurry on any small thing that you see, on the apparent face of something, that's very, very dangerous. That's very dangerous for just general brotherly love and harmony between people in general and just people in general. This is very important that a person doesn't do that. Because people are of different categories and different levels and different states. And we need to understand that diversity, we have to be able to deal with it. A lot of people, they become pious, righteous. They suddenly have illumination. They suddenly become practicing. Then they want everybody to walk along with them. They want everybody to be illuminated at the same time. If you do, ask Allah for that. Don't get angry when people say, why don't you get up to my status? Why don't you do the same thing that I'm doing now? I've put my TV away. Why don't you do the same thing? I've stopped watching all of this filth. You do the same thing. You know, it took time for you to gain this inspiration, this motivation. So it may take time for others. A lot of the time this happens between husband and wives, it happens between spouse, it happens between brothers, it happens between parents and children, children and parents. So ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imam Sa'id ibn al-Musayyib, one of the greatest of the tabi'een, it's mentioned about him that he says, مَا مِن شَرِيفٍ وَلَا ذِي فَضْلٍ إِلَّا وَفِيهِ نَقْصٌ. There's no honorable individual, meaning every honorable and individual and anybody with any kind of distinction in this world, every one of them will still have a defect. So even people who see people with great honor and he's generally accepted as being an honorable individual and a person of high distinction, still that person is going to have some defect. Ask his wife. You know, ask the people close. There's going to be some defect to the other. But the best part is this. That's a reality. We can't do anything about that reality. That's the thing here. These are realities that we can't do much about. We can help in that situation. But وَلَكِنْ مَنْ كَانَ فَضْلُهُ أَكْثَرُ مِنْ نَقْسِهِ وَهِبَ نَقْسُهُ لِفَضْلِهِ. However, the one whose distinctions, his honor, his merits are better and superior and more abundant than his defects, then his defects become disguised in the good points. At the end of the day, that's what we're all going to try to achieve. Everybody's going to have a defect, but the more good merits that we try to create for ourselves, our bad things will just become dissolved in that. It'll become hidden in that. Essentially, that's what it is. And that's what we're trying to achieve. About Sa'id ibn al-Musayyib, rahimahullah, he's from the high tabi'een, the most elect of the tabi'een. And one of the greatest narrators of hadith as well, from the Sahaba. He took a lot from Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, for example. He took a lot from him. And he used to exert himself a lot. He was a great worshipper. He says, this is his own statement, he says, مَا فَاتَتْنِي فَرِيضَةٌ فِي جَمَاعَةٍ مُنْذُ أَرْبَعِينَ سَنَةٍ. For 40 years, I haven't missed a salat in jama'ah. Like no salat did he miss for 40 years without congregation. He prayed in congregation. And during his time, in those early times, there was a major problem during those early times. There was a lot of sectarian wars, especially over Medina Munawwara. Who's going to become the governor during the time of Abdullah ibn Zubayr and the Umayyads and so on and so forth. So at that time, I mean, you'd be surprised about this. But there came 3 days when it was really severe and no adhan took place in Masjid al-Nabawi. That's how bad the situation was. The muadhin could not go to Masjid al-Nabawi to give adhan. So, in those days, he stayed in the masjid. He was in retreat in the masjid. He literally like made it itikaf in a sense. Now, in those days, you didn't have clocks. You didn't have timetables. You're inside, so you can't... I mean, it'd probably be dangerous to go out and see the sun and so on, where it is. How does he find the time of the prayer? How does he find time of... Because it seems like he's the only one inside. He says that he used to recognize and identify the time of the prayers by a sound that would come from the grave of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He died in 93 Hijri. So this was his statement. It's a very penetrating statement that everybody's going to have some kind of defect, but the more merits you'll have, your defects will become dissolved in those merits. Another right, this is the third one I think, another right that a brother has over a brother, أَن يَرْجُوا لَهُ مِنَ الْخَيْرَاتِ. You have to wish well for them. One is you overlook their defects, turn a blind eye. But number two, you wish well for people in general, every brother of yours. When we say brother here, we mean in general. We mean in general here. Muslim brother, Muslim sister. Humanity in general, we want good for them. يَرْجُوا لَهُ مِنَ الْخَيْرَاتِ. We wish well for them. وَالْمُسَامَحَ. We want pardon for them. Just like we want pardon for ourselves, we want pardon for them. قُبُولَ التَّوْبَةِ. And we also want their tawbah to be accepted, just like we want our tawbah to be accepted. What does that tell us? It tells us that just like we also sin, anybody who criticizes others, they should think to themselves, haven't I got any problems? Don't I commit sin as well? Don't I want tawbah? Oh, but I do tawbah. Well, don't you want tawbah for your brother? Don't you want repentance to be accepted for your brother, just like you want tawbah to be accepted for yourself? So that is a right that we must have towards others, that we must feel that way and have that emotion for others. وَلَوْ فَعَلَ مِنَ الْمَعَاصِيَ الْإِسْلَامِيَ مَا فَعَلْ كَمَا يَرْجُو ذَلِكَ لِنَفْسِهِ. Regardless of what sins they're committing, we want tawbah for them just like we want for us. Another one, another right that he speaks about is أَلَّا يَنْظُرَ إِلَى زِلَّةٍ إِلَى زَلَّةٍ سَبَقَتْ وَلَا يَكْشِفُ لَهُ عَوْرَةً سُتِرَتْ. So another problem that we have in our communities is a person holding a database of everybody's past wrongs, even though they've sorted themselves out now. People may become reformed now, may be reformed now, but we remember 20 years ago, they did something bad, or they were in prison, or their state wasn't very good, whatever the case may be. So a person should not look at past defects, past slips and flaws. And a person should not open up and reveal any hidden defects, you know, that are veiled and concealed and nobody knows about. A person should not reveal them to people. Because it mentions in a hadith, and this is from the hadith, it mentions in a hadith that وَمَنْ رَأَى عَوْرَةً فَسَتَرَاهَا كَانَ كَمَنْ أَحْيَى مَوْؤُودَةً. مَوْؤُودَةً فِي قَبْرِهَا. Anybody who conceals some hidden defect of somebody, anybody who conceals, so this is actively concealed, so even if somebody is about to open it up, you are concealing it, or you're trying to make an excuse for that person. So one is you don't open it up, you don't say anything about it, you keep silent. The other one is that somebody wants to reveal it or start stalking about it, and you say, no, you try to just kind of gloss over it somehow. You conceal it, you actively. So he says that whoever does that, now this is not talking about somebody's harm to others. That has to be opened up. The goodwill there is that you reveal to people that be careful of this person. That's a different situation. But this is something that is not contagious. Somebody's own little problem that he has, that he's working with, is trying to struggle with, or whatever the case is. Don't make it more difficult by making it public. Conceal it. Anybody who does that, the Prophet ﷺ said, is like the person who brought back to life an infant girl buried alive. Now, an infant girl buried alive was something that was really a very emotional point of sentiment for the people of Makkah at that time, because this was the pre-Islamic Jahiliyyah practice of burying their daughters alive, because they felt that sons had more value and daughters didn't have enough value for them, that you'd have to invest and bring them up and spend on them and so on and so forth. And then after that, they get married to somebody else and they're gone, right? They don't carry on your family name. You know, this is one of the extremes of being so focused on your tribal lineage. There are extremes in everything. When you become so engrossed in your tribal lineage that I'm Pathan or I'm this, that or the other or whatever it is. I don't know why I thought of Pathan right now, but you know, anything for that matter. And then you get so extreme about it that you don't want to dissolve that in any way or dilute that anyhow. And this is one of the extremes of these things. So subhanAllah, if somebody goes against that trend and brings back a girl who has been oppressed in that manner, can you imagine such a high deed that is? What a great deed that is. That's just like the Prophet ﷺ is saying, that is just like if you conceal somebody and you conceal their defect, their flaw. The mashayikh say, when you say the mashayikh, this word mashayikh refers to generally the spiritual scholars, scholars of spirituality. كل من لم يستر على إخوانه ما يراه منهم من الهفوات فقد فتح على نفسه باب كشف عورته بقدر ما أظهر من هفواتهم. When this is the general guidance of Islam to conceal people, that's the general guidance, right? As far as possible. If that's what Allah wants from us, then anybody who violates that, then what's going to happen? So that's why he says that the mashayikh say that anybody who does not conceal of their brothers whatever faults that they notice, then they are opening for themselves a door to their own defects being revealed. Because if we're not actively trying to keep the balance that Allah wants in this world, the mizan, then Allah is going to open up the door of our defects. بِقَدْرِ مَا أَظْهَرَ مِنْ هَفَوَاتِهِمْ. And as much as we reveal of others, that is how much Allah will reveal of ours. So if you don't want to do it for somebody else, at least do it for yourself. At least think that way, if not in the more positive way. They also say that إِذَا رَأَيْتُ مِنْ إِخْوَانِكُمْ عَلَى مَعْصِيَةٍ لَمْ يُجَاهِرْ بِهَا فَاسْتُرُوهُ. If you see somebody doing a sin that he is not openly doing outside, he is hiding and doing it, right? He's not openly and brazenly going into a pub and drinking in front of everybody and going around. You know, he's got a problem of drinking, poor guy. And he tries to hide it, right? He tries to hide it. Then don't. If you see somebody like that, then وَبِّخُوهُ بَيْنَكُمْ. Admonish him privately. Go and tell him privately first. He's trying to make an effort. It helps when somebody finds out, somebody tells you nicely. You know, of course you have to have some kind of relationship here. وَإِنْ لَمْ يَنْزَجِرْ. If the person doesn't desist, then if he doesn't desist, it means he's going to do it in the open. Right? Then maybe tell him in front of people, but with the intention of his welfare. See, even if somebody does this, what shaitan puts into the mind is to get one over them, to somehow get some merit out of it for yourself. But no, that should not be the intention. Even if you do have to open it up to people, then do it for his welfare, with the intention and the hope that inshallah he will desist and stop doing it now. Now, one thing you have to understand, he says, مَا دَامَ يَعْصِي فِي قَعْرِ دَارِهِ وَيُغْلِقْ بَابَهُ عَلَيْهِ فَهُوَ لَمْ يَتَجَاهَرْ. As long as the person is doing it in the deep recesses of his home or wherever it is that is hidden, right? And he's closing his door and he's not publicizing it, he's not putting it up on Twitter the next day or Facebook, as silly people do today, right? Then it means he is not openly doing it. The Prophet ﷺ said, everybody's going to be forgiven except the people who openly do the sin. The Prophet ﷺ also said, somebody does a sin at night, Allah veils it, nobody finds out, and the same person openly tells everybody the next day. What an idiot. Before, people wrote diaries, and diaries were generally private. They were only generally discovered after the death, right? People kept diaries, and they would try to keep it private, and they would only be read generally after death. Today, the diary becomes Facebook and Twitter, and people want people to read it. So a lot of the honesty in it goes, and the genuineness of it goes as well, because to attract more people towards your posts and so on, they need to be dramatized a bit more. So Allah knows best how true things are as compared to what they used to be. But look at where the private life became suddenly very public, and how lives have changed, perspective has changed. Then he says though, that if the person is doing it in privacy, but there are children there who are telling others about it, then consider that they are like adults then in that case, and that he's openly doing it as well. Because if a person is doing something wrong and he's trying to privately do it, then he should not do it in front of children either. Another haq, another right of one brother over another is, لا يعيره بذنب ولا غيره فإن المعايرة تقطع الود أو تكدر صفاء. So, this is another level now. Somebody's committed a sin. One is a genuine nasiha, goodwill towards them of trying to make them desist. But another one is where you keep saying, you do that. It's this kind of reproach, humiliation, putting them to shame, essentially shaming somebody all the time. So your idea is not to give them genuine, sincere nasiha, but it's to actually just keep putting them down for whatever reason, whether in front of others or even if it's not in front of others, but just between you two. Just to keep shaming them, reminding them of that. That's very, very dangerous. Because first and foremost, if you're trying to create love and bond between two friends, between yourself and somebody else, and you start bringing these things up, then is that going to go very far in terms of creating love? And people do this between spouses. Husband will do this to wife, and wife will do this to husband. It's a relationship where you're supposed to be creating love and bond and affection between you. Doing this is not going to create any of that. It's going to break that anyway. If it doesn't remove the love, it will definitely muddy the purity of it. So it's going to be really polluted. Then he says that from Hassan Basri's words, he says, إِذَا بَلَغَكُمْ عَنْ أَحَدٍ زَلَّهُ. If you hear about anybody's slip, a flaw of somebody, somebody did something wrong, somebody conveyed, and there's many people unfortunately who convey things to us, right? You sit in most gatherings and somebody's going to speak about somebody else, right? So if somebody does come to you, one of these conveyors, backbiters, talebearers, slanderers, whatever you want to call them, radio hosts, chat show people, you know, news bearers, whatever you want to call them, commentators, speculators. وَلَمْ تَثْبُتْ عِنْدَ حَاكِمٍ. However, whatever they're saying has not yet been established in front of a judge. So it has not been judicially established and proven. فَلَا تُعَيِّرُوهُ بِهَا. So now don't take it in your hands to go and shame that person about it, or admonish him, or humiliate him because of that. Don't reproach him because of that. وَكَذِّبُوا مَنْ أَشَاعَهَا مِنْهُ. What you should rather do is you should belie and discourage and deny the people who are trying to spread that rumor. Especially if the person is among you, you should definitely try to do this. The reason is that just by the default state in everything is that a person is free. A person is innocent. That's the default level. You can only prove, you know, it's the guilty until proven innocent. That's what he's saying. That because the default status in everything is that a person is innocent until proven guilty. Until there is sound proof that is established in front of a judge. After that, even if it is now proven, and yes, he was a whatever he was, still, don't reproach him. Because it's not your responsibility to do that. It's not your responsibility to do that. Because it's very possible that Allah will cure him of that. or relieve him of that, and he will affect you with it. It's a possibility. Tomorrow we do the same thing as others. You know, whenever you hear on the radio and TV and all of these places, and we get the news about certain people falling to certain human weaknesses, you know, we should just thank Allah that we're not part of that. Because it could be us tomorrow. We all have lusts and desires and failings and weaknesses and things of that nature. And although we may feel very strong today, if Allah wills, it can just change. He doesn't like it when a person upsets the balance of the world. He just doesn't like that at all. Because Allah says, وَوَضَعَ الْمِيزَانِ in Surah Ar-Rahman, that He's created the balance. And do not destroy that balance. لَا تَتَغَوْ فِي الْمِيزَانِ. You know, do not be tyrannical, don't go above board in upsetting the balance of the world. Now, the problem here is, the challenge here is for the people who for 50 years, 40 years, who've gone old criticizing others. That's all they do. They criticize everything. They criticize everything from food that they will eat somewhere, to the way the imam reads, to the talk of a scholar, to anything. Like, the scholar gave a 1 hour talk, Jumu'ah khutbah, whatever it is, and he made one silly comment or whatever, they will seize on that. They're literally just looking for the evil in it. They're just literally looking for the flaw, the weak point. It's like they say that when a nightingale goes into a garden, it will find the best of flowers and it sits in those. Whenever a pig goes into a garden, it looks for the dirtiest place. It's just this nature. So now if we have become accustomed to doing that 40 years, 50 years, it gets difficult to relieve that. So how do you relieve yourself? Well, first and foremost, you have to recognize that we've got that problem. And many of us have this problem. It's part of the culture, by the way. It's part of the culture to do this. It's part of the culture to do this, which is the sad thing. So you have to recognize, I've got a problem. I also do this. And once we've recognized that, then cry in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and say, oh Allah, remove this from me. Because if you don't recognize it, and we justify and we think it's completely right to that, we should know the bad of people so that we stay safe. Nobody's telling you to not know that there is a bad person. But it's our reaction to that which is important, is how that has to be managed. That's why this hadith, subhanAllah, when I heard it the first time, Imam Tirmidhi has related this from Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu anhu. It just really frightened me. Because you know, as children, we do this generally. And it was a good job I heard this when I was young, because it helped me out a lot. That's why these hadith are very important for young people, that we should teach, we should do these things from a young age. It will just protect us from growing up doing having a bad habit. Anyway, the Prophet ﷺ said, "Man ayyara akhahu bi dhanbin." Anybody who reproaches his brother for a sin that he's committed in the past. Somebody's committed a sin and then you keep going on about it. "Lam yamut hatta ya'mal dhalika dhanb." Then this person who's doing this is not going to die until he also becomes engaged in that. Same thing that we're shaming others for, humiliating others because of, we will get involved in that before we die. Allah will not let us die until that happens. That was extremely frightening. That just really put the fright in, and subhanAllah, I just try to avoid doing this. Because as young children, you learn these kind of things, you like criticizing, you make fun of people and things like that. SubhanAllah. Sayyidi Ali al-Wafa says, "La ta'ib akhaka bima asabahu min masa'ibi dunyak." Don't bother your brother about different dunyawi calamities that come upon him. Because look, there could be many reasons why this has happened. Either he is oppressed and not really the guilty one, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to help him, because Allah will help the oppressed people. Or maybe he is a sinner. He violated. He's a criminal in that sense. And he's a sinner. And then Allah is punishing him now because of this calamity, by this calamity. And now he's going to be purified. Now he's going to be purified because of it. And he says it's the most greatest level of foolishness and idiocy that a person is proud of something that they themselves are not secure of staying away from. Like, how secure are you that by your death you will also not have a problem like this? How secure are you? What guarantee do you have? It's also stupidity, he says, that a person reproach somebody for something that is not impossible for you also to fall into. So just always think about that in that sense. And you know that whatever is possible for you is possible for others. Or whatever is possible for somebody like you, it will be possible for you as well. So if today he's been engrossed in that calamity, tomorrow it could happen to you as well. Okay, we're going to, inshallah, stop here today because we did promise that we'll take some questions, inshallah.
The point of a lecture is to encourage people to act, to get further, an inspiration, an encouragement, persuasion. The next step is to actually start learning seriously, to read books, to take on a subject of Islam and to understand all the subjects of Islam, at least at their basic level, so that we can become more aware of what our deen wants from us. And that's why we started Rayyan courses, so that you can actually take organized lectures on demand whenever you have free time, especially, for example, the Islamic Essentials course that we have on there, the Islamic Essentials Certificate, which you take 20 short modules. And at the end of that, inshallah, you will have gotten the basics of most of the most important topics in Islam, and you'll feel a lot more confident. You don't have to leave lectures behind. You can continue to leave, to listen to lectures, but you need to have this more sustained study as well. Jazakallah khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.